Well, I simply have just a few verses to go over with this morning. We agree with what we've heard already, that the Lord is here with us this morning, and I'd just like to turn to read a couple of scriptures and then pray from Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 1 to 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And the present passage I'm looking at, Acts chapter 15, in verse 36, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaimed the word of the Lord, and see how they are." And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with them. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement, a paroxysm, that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches. Let's just ask the Lord to help us this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the gift of insight and wisdom you give to all of us, Lord, that you have brought us from where we were, and you have transitioned us into your kingdom. And we're out of the world. We walk in this world, but we are not of the world. And we thank you for that. We thank you for being with us this morning and ask for the light of revelation to shine in everyone's heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Life is filled with transitions, isn't it? Most of the young under 30 people have left. They've gone. But their lives are transitioning. Everybody goes through transitions. And I'm saying this because this passage in Acts 15, this carries with it a kind of transition. Something is changing in this case. We've already had the ascension of the Lord Jesus in Acts 1. We've had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've had apostles going out, and we've had Peter witnessing to Gentiles and seeing them miraculously saved. He didn't think it was possible. That's a transition, big one. The foundations have been laid, and Stephen has been martyred. Paul was chosen as Saul was chosen as an apostle, directly, personally by the Lord Jesus, and becomes Paul. And we see the church at Antioch planted. See the Gentiles not people from Jerusalem, not by witnesses from Jerusalem, but people, believers, missionary-hearted believers from North Africa and Cyprus, plant a church in Antioch, and it becomes this tremendous missionary church. We see all of this groundwork being laid, all of these changes taking place, and the church being established. And we come up to this point where we have the church in Jerusalem and the church in Antioch. And we have an established church. And we see this, and at this point in time, Paul wants to go out in what we know now as his second missionary journey. That's good. But we see a fight breaks out, a disagreement. And to me, this, there's, when you look at these two men, it is tempting. I'm not tempted to say either one is right. One is right, one is wrong. I've been there. I said, well, Paul is right. They can't take Mark with them. And Barnabas is right. You can't say one is more right than the other. It is not possible. The way this was written and given to us 2,000 years ago, they're both right. And that happens. Sometimes that happens. Both are right, and we can't say one is more right than the other. But at this stage where this is taking place right now seems to me to be a tremendous transition taking place right here. It's everything that needed to be done. The groundwork has all been laid. It's all taken care of. Everything has been done. And when we move into the next chapter, we see something marvelous taking place that we didn't really ever witness before. It's the second missionary journey, but one thing, and I don't want to get into it at all, needs a lot more prayerful study. We see, as soon as we get out of this chapter, we see the hand of the Holy Spirit. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in a way we never saw before. Oh, we saw the Pentecost. We saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we saw the church being built and churches planted and all. But this is something different coming up here, and it's interesting to see. But right now what we have is we have Jerusalem and Antioch. We have a great danger of two threads of Christianity forming, yet Christ does minister to both. He says there are lots of examples how different these two churches are. Jerusalem is a Jewish Christian. They are conservative. They are heavily traditional, and they're wedded to the temple. We know traditional Christians. We've known them. Antioch, on the other hand, is Gentile Christian. They are dynamic. They are energetic. And they have little regard for history. I've known people like that. And they are expansionist. All of the activities from now on is going to be coming out of Antioch. They are expanding the church wherever they go. It's incredible how the church expands in this time. And yet, it's interesting to see these two dynamics going on, these traditional and this, how can we say, dynamic, energetic, expansionist. These two churches exist, and yet they are met in one man. One person, it's incredible, is chosen by God, and that's Saul, who is a Hebrew of Hebrews, and Paul of Tarsus. the ministry at this point beginning to take shape. G. Campbell Morgan said this man, he was Hebrew of Hebrews, but he was Saul of Tarsus. The idea of bondage and denial and sacrifice was the idea of Hebraism. The idea of liberty and culture and fulfillment of life was the idea of the Greeks. In Christ, he had found that through bondage, men come into liberty, and that through death, men come into life. That's the way of Christ. Isn't that incredible? We know that. You've heard this many, many times, that in Christ, the opposite is the right way. And so death leads to life. Bondage leads to liberty. But we see this taking place here, and it's something of an incredible place of transition. There's always transition going on. Your life is filled with transition. Our lives are transition. There's always transition taking place. And it is always, I don't know that we can see it. If we could know spiritually, we'd see the hand of the Lord in every transition. Every transition has a purpose to it. Every change. Got big transition taking place. Already have a testimony this morning already of a huge transition in life. There's always a purpose to it. It is no transition takes place without purpose. And in this one transition where these two men argue with one another and they come into sharp disagreement. There arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. How do we look at that in a bad light if we know that the Holy Spirit can work in both of them? The fact is, where once we had one missionary couple, Saul and Barnabas, now we have two missionary couples with Paul and Silas and Barnabas and Mark going out. And the fact is that neither one of them is wrong. They're both right. And we do know that there were no real hard feelings. In fact, there are some things that just aren't written about by Luke, but we know that Paul refers to Barnabas later on in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9:6, I believe it is. 9:6, where he says, I don't know if I wrote that down anywhere or not. There it is. Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? So when he wrote Corinthians, Barnabas was out there ministering. We just don't know. Luke, who wrote Acts, was following Paul, but Barnabas was still there ministering. He's still out there. And Paul knew where he was and what he was doing. So the body of Christ increased. More churches planted, yes, but it increased in these two great leaders. It was Barnabas who, by the gifts of God in him, found Saul and said, "You need to come with me." And he brought him to Antioch to minister. So there is tremendous gifting in both of these. So this ministry is made up. Here's so that we have the grace to receive each one of us, all of us, in things. Ministry is made up of everybody. I remember I remember years ago going to a youth convention in, I will grant that culture has a big deal to do with a lot of, with the youth. Maybe not so much. Well, I think, I don't know much about it right now, but back then, I went to this convention and it was a weekend thing, and I was quite shocked at the fact that all the youth looked alike. They were all dressed the same way. Back in those days, they had the dry look, the blown hair look. And it was in their particular direction, they all did this big hair thing. And they all looked alike. And I said, why do they all look alike? Nobody was wearing flannel. It was all well done. It was, I said, this somehow, okay, I'll receive. Maybe the Lord will speak to them, but people are so different. In Christ, we can be very different. Looking at the people here that make up the examples of ministry, we have in just this one passage I read here in this, we have Paul. I would call Paul a severe pastor. He has both qualities. Severe pastor. That would get a laugh if there were more people in here. He's a severe pastor. You ever known a severe pastor? He has both qualities. He can be, in this example, he is rigid in his belief that John Mark should not go anywhere. But in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, he says to the Thessalonians, "We proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." Now that is a pastor's heart. And yet he can be really severe. Now I read from Ephesians 4 that says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." You know who wrote that? Yeah, Paul wrote that. The same guy who stood his ground and said, "We're not taking John Mark with us. We are not taking." He quit. He's a quitter. "We're not taking him." I'm sure they were, I don't know if they were yelling at each other, but they let each other know they're not going to put up with this. So they went their own ways. And the church grew. We have also Barnabas. He is the super encourager. He encouraged Paul. He encouraged John Mark. We have John Mark in this scene, a character in our little tableau here. John Mark. If you were to describe John Mark in one word, it would be a servant. And in fact, he stayed with it. Although he kind of like, did he quit? Did he give up? What happened on that first missionary journey that he abandoned them and went back to Jerusalem? He's a servant. And he went with Barnabas to serve. He later went with Peter. He went and served in a servant capacity Paul himself later on. In 2 Timothy 4:11, this is the last letter Paul wrote, 2 Timothy. He's in jail in Rome. He says, "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for me, to me for service." He's a servant. He became beloved. In 1 Peter 5:13, "She who is in Babylon," Peter writes this, "She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark." This guy traveled all over the world, the known world at that time, serving. And one of the greatest things that he did in his life as a servant was to write the first gospel about, and if you read Mark and you read the four gospels, Mark is the gospel about Christ the servant. Isn't that incredible? It takes a servant to recognize the servanthood of Christ. And Mark realized that. So from a potential disaster in somebody's life, how the Holy Spirit takes a hold of someone and leads them all over the world and makes a servant of them. That's incredible. There's hope for everybody. So that is John Mark, one of the characters. And then there is Silas, the prophet partner. These people are, I don't know if they're radically different, but they are different people. And it takes the body of Christ, and it takes the Holy Spirit, and it takes the work of Christ to bring people who are so different together. How does unity take place? What is unity, and how does it happen? That's the question. Because out of this apparent argument, this breakup between people, we have unity. In this, even in this, we have unity. What should unity be based on? First, unity between people, between believers in Christ. Christ is first. And by first, capital letters, first. 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures." And in 1 Corinthians 15:20, later on in 1 Corinthians 15, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and after that those who are Christ at his coming." Christ is first. He's first. You don't have to make him first. He is first. He is first. Number two, Christ is all. Not just that he is first, but he is all. Colossians 3:11 says, "A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man." Well, they should write a song. If they haven't written a song about this, they should. "But Christ is all and in all." Is there a song that says about that? Christ is all and in all. We don't have our hymn people. Okay. Christ is all and in all. Christ is first. Christ is all. Number three, Christ is gained or increased through weakness and death. We need a cross-centered theology. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "Therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Christ is gained or increased in our life through weakness and death. And number four, the basis of unity: Christ is first, Christ is all, Christ is gained through weakness and death, and one more thing, Christ is returning. That should be the basis of our, hey, put the slide up, look at that. Number four, Christ is returning. We don't really discuss that very much. We don't make it a part of our way of life. But Christ is coming back. The groundwork is being laid for his return. But we're worried about today. We're worried about this afternoon. We're worried about the near future. But Christ is coming back. Maybe we, you know, keep it in mind. It could, he could return any time. People who look at this say every prophecy about his return that should take place before it has all been fulfilled. Everything is done. It's just like in the book of Acts. Everything up to this point, everything, the foundation is laid, everything that needs to be done is done. From this point on, Acts changes. In subtle ways and big ways. Nothing from this point on in Acts, nothing big takes place like the ascension or the Pentecost or individuals martyring or that sort of thing. It's all done. And right now, from this point on, we see the fruit coming out on the tree that was planted in the first half of Acts. And the fruit now begins to grow. You begin to see fruit. From the Philippian jailer and from women who washing at the side of the, we see a lot of things take place. I haven't even got to that point yet. But look for the transition in life. And if we put Christ first, between all of ourselves, we are different. Yet we can be one in Christ. And even when there is a disagreement, as there was in between Paul and Barnabas, there was no, you have to say both were right. And there was no sin. People can disagree without sin. There was no sin in this. And the body grew as a result of it. So, yes, so I'm going to get you out in time for dinner. Yeah. For lunch. You at the restaurant, your favorite restaurant. Get there, get a table there. There are transitions in life. And look for the Lord to be the Lord of transitions. That is really hard for sometimes. Transitions can seem so difficult. But how many times in your life, can you definitely say, this is the Holy Spirit leading me? May not be able to see it up to this point, but as soon as we go into the next chapter, it's going to be very interesting to watch the Holy Spirit do things. And I'd like to be able to, I think we need to be spiritual people. If there are any, if there's anybody in this world that we could consider and should look to as spiritual people, it'd be those who believe in Christ and give all of their lives, and they let go of all of the things of their life. They let go and let God, let the Lord Jesus reign in their lives through the Holy Spirit. And we thank the Lord that we have we've had many people say those things here. I'm not saying anything you don't know. I haven't said anything yet you don't know. But we want the Holy Spirit to be our guide. We want Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God, to speak to us, to guide us, and use us as he has. We have, talking about missionaries, we have still to this day, we have people in the field that have come out from here. And the Lord has been, he has blessed us when they go out. I'm thinking of Ryan and Krista and others. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for transitions. As difficult as they may seem on the surface, they are the hand of the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for working in each of our lives. Lord, we know that some days seem harder than others. We know that each one of us face difficult challenges in life, and some of those challenges will happen soon, and some will happen in a long time from now. But Lord, you are the Lord of challenges. You are able to sustain us, to build us up, to uphold us, and everything that you bring into our lives is for our benefit, that we might become more like Christ in every aspect. Lord, build us up. Lord, we thank you for this little group, and for those who are not here this morning, we do thank you, Lord, for we miss their presence in our midst. We miss the spirit that they bring. Minister to each one here today, Lord. Minister to all of us as we leave here, and wherever we go, the Lord, we know that Christ will go with us, and the Holy Spirit will be instructing us and leading us and guiding us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.